a couple days before we celebrate the advent of his birth. Can we just take a moment and not just sing those words, but can we just take a second and lift our hands and go ahead and give him the glory right now, right now, right now. Father, we thank you, God. All of these songs that we sing, Lord, they're about one thing, and that's you coming to earth as man for us, for our ransom. God, we thank you that we stand here together in this congregation. Maybe there might even be some in this place that don't know you, but they're surrounded by brothers and sisters who've come to know, trust, and lean on the blood of Jesus, that you've done a work in our lives. It's this season that we celebrate. Though we celebrate your birth, God, it was really your death that you came, that you were born for, that you would be the redemption of our sins, God. So, Father, in this moment, Lord, we pause to say yours truly is the glory forevermore. God, we don't boast in anything that we've done ourselves. We don't boast in our own righteousness. We don't boast in our own good works. We only boast in this one thing, and that is the cross. So, Father, though we can appreciate the beauty of these trees behind us, God, there's a tree that doesn't look so beautiful. Lord, it's the tree that you hung on. It was the cross that you bore our sins for. So, Father, this morning, will we pause just to say thank you? Not just for Christmas, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for what's behind even that label, Christmas. We thank you for the incarnation, for coming to earth as man, dwelling amongst us, Lord, and giving yourselves for our redemption. This morning, we say thank you. Yours truly is the glory forevermore. Church, would you just take a moment and just turn around to two or three people and say, it's good to see you this holiday season. It's good to see you this holiday season. Amen. We're going to go ahead and invite our ushers to come forward this morning. We're going to get ready to worship the Lord in tithes and offering. I do have an important announcement this morning as we're getting ready to receive the tithes and offering. If you came in this morning, you should have received, you may have gotten in earlier, but if you did not receive one of these prayer cards, if you did not receive one coming in this morning, could you hold up your hands if you did not receive one? It looks like everyone's received one then. Okay, Trey, one and two. So if we have two, Pam, can you help just in the front and in the, if you hold your hand up one more time if you did not receive one of these this morning. Hold them up high. And if you just keep your hands up for a second, Pam's coming around. She's going to give those to you. These are very important. I'm going to explain them in a second, then we're going to take the tithe and offering this morning. I want you to hold on to these and be ready to bring them back with you next week. Everybody say next week. Next week. Say it again. Say next week. Next week. Very important time. Here's what I'm asking you to do, church. If you're a member of West Highland, if you've been attending and you plan on becoming a member, if you are a regular worshiper with us, what I'm going to ask you, and not as a couple, husbands and wives, you fill them out individually. I'm going to ask that you and even our young people that are here, I'm going to ask that you fill one of these out and bring them back with you next Sunday as we're going to take this church into a season of prayer next week. I'm going to explain more about that in a few moments, but let's first just get ready to worship God in our giving. God has been good this year, hasn't he? And listen, if you're in this place and you say, well, no, I'm still waiting to see the goodness of God. David said, I was glad that I saw it in the land of the living. And I thank God that he's given you another day to be able to experience his goodness. And we're praying that. I know there's a lot of needs that have come across in the sanctuary over the last month or so just alone. So praying that God will meet you there. Father, we pray this morning that as we give to you, as we extend our worship, Lord, into a time of giving, would you, Lord, just, we're asking not only that you would take this to build your kingdom, but Lord, there are some needs that have been brought to the ministry that you've been meeting through the faithfulness of the giving in this church. We ask that you would continue to meet needs in this holiday season. Lord, thank you for the ability to worship you in our finances, Lord. So we extend this worship today, Lord, in this time of offering and your tithe. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, so as we're passing the plates down the pews, a couple announcements, just two. First of all, is everyone ready for Christmas? Yeah. Good. Wow. Good. You better, because ours starts tomorrow. So anyway, two things are coming up. A Christmas Eve service at 5 o'clock is going to be so much fun. So please make sure that you carve out some time to come in and just set the tone for the next day, for when we celebrate the birth of Jesus. No matter what stuff is going on, we have got that good news all the time. He is with us. He is with us. He is with us. One more thing too, the Fifth Sunday Fellowship, make sure that you sign up at the Welcome Center if you're planning on staying after church for the Fifth Sunday Fellowship. That's hard to say. Fifth Sunday Fellowship. Because we want to know how much pizza to order. The Fifth Sunday Fellowship is going to be a time of pizza and games and just having fun with the members of the church, of the body here. So it's going to be a really good time for you to get to know maybe someone that you don't know very well. You can see how competitive they are, and just have a really good time. I think I'm kind of envisioning it's board games, right? Like, so it's not like running games. It's like table games. So it's table games. So it's just be a lot of fun. I'm envisioning like having, you know, an older person sitting down with a younger person and just like playing games together, just really getting to know each other. So it's going to be a very special time of fellowship, and I don't want you to miss that out. Okay? All right.
Thank you so much, Debbie. And
Pastor, you've been our shepherd and our spiritual leader for the past 4 months. Some of us have known you longer than that, but we've been blessed to have you in our membership and in our congregation. I stumble. Anyway, I've personally enjoyed watching your imagination and creativity come in and bless our congregation in new inventions, new creations, new directions, and we have been blessed. And for the past few weeks, our family here at West Highland has been secretly contributing for a Christmas gift for you and your family, just as a token of our love and appreciation. And on behalf of the elders and representing your family here at West Highland, we want to present you with this gift. And more than flowers, we had hoped to have Karen up here. Karen's hand was in a lot of the decorations here. She helped the elders and the ribbons and the decorations on the trees. And I know she worked with the hospitality group in decorating the narthex. And I've been told that she has a blessed hand and eye for decoration and creativity along with you. But anyway, we love you and we love your family, and we are blessed to have you here. Merry Christmas.
Love you, brother. No, they're gonna stay right there. Wow. Well, I was already messed up this morning, and then you just messed me up more. It just threw me off. Okay, I'm sorry. We were gone for a week, and this was one of the first times. In fact, this was one of the first times that I've been out of town, and I was just itching to get home. I think my mom, if Karen was here, she could probably tell you that, but my mom would probably be able to tell you. There are some times I was just quiet. I was already into today. I mean, we were driving at a certain point. I'm like, Mom, pull up this verse for me. I need you to read something for me. Read it out loud. I need to hear. Because I just couldn't wait to get back here with you all. You all have really been a family. It doesn't feel like I've only been here for 4 months. It feels like you are a family. And can I just say something about our elder ministry here? I thank God for those men of God that surround me. I do. I apologize to all the wives because, yes, sometimes when they're getting home super late, it's probably because of me. But it's just one of the things that I was most nervous about in coming to pastor this church. Believe it or not, the thing that just made me the most, I don't want to say uncomfortable, but just nervous because I didn't know how to deal with it, was to have an elder ministry. We've had deacons before, but not an elders, and I just thought, I'm gonna be controlled, and they're gonna cast a vision, and I'm just gonna be a pulpit puppeteer. And far from the truth, these men of God have surrounded me and really have helped to make my what's going on up here and here make sense out here. And so, with you all, with our ministry council, our deacons, our staff, I just thank you all for making this the most exciting ministry journey that I've ever had in my life. I will say it was just a joy. I know that many of you knew this, but some have not. So I finished up my PhD studies last year, finished up the work, and then it was waiting for several months to be able to defend my PhD. I did that before becoming pastor here. So I've been Dr. Aaron Robinson for a while, but with that back surgery and everything else, I was not able to attend my commencement, which is in Wales. My PhD was across the pond, so I did my PhD in the UK. And so this week I was able to go with my mom and my wife and my two girls, go over to Bangor and experience. I did feel like I was on a live set filming of Harry Potter. We do our regalia different in the British system, and I'm not gonna lie, I love it, because when it comes to the graduations, when I walk around Moody or whatever now and I wear my regalia and all the other professors have on their American regalia with the puffy sleeves, I look like a wizard. And so, you know, but I did want to just kind of bring you all to the, since you all couldn't fly over with me, I just did want to bring you over a quick moment of the night. Mike, you go ahead and show that next piece.
Adana Okuchuku Omaka. Astudiaethau Pentecostaidd, Pentecostal Studies. Aaron Joseph Robinson.
Ar ran y Brifysgol, rwy'n cadenau eich bod wedi derbyn dothuriaeth a holltriniau rath hon. On behalf of the University, I confirm that you have received your doctorate and all the privileges of that award.
Llongyfarchiadau ar derbyn eich gradd heddiw. Congratulations on receiving your award today.
So that was a fun moment. Interestingly enough, I was on the next to the right. Oh, you don't have to go back to that, Mike. To the right of me, left, whatever, the people on that side, the one young lady was a lawyer. She's got her PhD in law, and then lady next to her, she got hers in history. So I'm like, and what about yours? I mean, in a little British accent. I said, like, well, I got mine in biblical studies. So I guess I trump both of you, because I got a little bit of law and a little bit of history. You know, so, it was a good time away, and so knowing today, well, technically on Christmas Eve, we'll wrap up the holidays on Hickory Ridge by having a fun time here in the sanctuary for Christmas Eve. I will say this, though. Next Sunday, please do not miss next Sunday. Come festive, come casual. I'm probably going to preach in a hoodie on that Sunday, because I'm going to come ready to do some damage after the sermon. I'm bringing Skip Bowl, Scorzo. Oh, my goodness. Don't wear a red sweater. We know you're cheating if you wear a red sweater. You should have been at the holiday party. I will say, though, to the Rayburn family, you're on my naughty list for sure. They wrecked my trip up with this. They got us Uno, no mercy, as a gift. And so we just said, we'll put it in a bag and take it with us. How bad could it be? People, it could be bad. okay? It could be pretty bad. So we're just going to bring it. And if you got your favorite card game or board game, bring it. Part of that is a little bit of spinoff of the sermon next Sunday. Next Sunday is not a part of a series. It's just a sermon to launch us off into 2025. And the sermon is just really simple. Game over, game on. From compromise to conquering. Next Sunday, come. We're going to go into the Word. And next Sunday is going to be a day of us declaring, game over. I'm done. I'm done. I'm done fooling around. I'm done playing around. I'm done riding the fence on some stuff. Game over. But then we're going to step into a new year saying, all right, game on. How many have ever had their game face on? How many have ever walked to a table and just said, okay, you're right. How many athletes we have in the building? Come on, raise your hand high. So you know what I mean. Now, some of you, your hands are going up, and I'm gonna talk to you later on because I've got some questions. But okay, but some of you, I know you're. But there's this idea though that just hit me one morning, about a month or two ago, and I was at the gym, and I said, that's how we're gonna close out this year. No more compromise. We're gonna step into conquering. And how fitting is that we go from that to our new series, Faithful Witness, Fractured World. That we're going to talk about how do we live as conquerors in a culture that seems to just be calling us to be compromisers. And today is a not crazy preaching. It's just taking us out of this year and really readying us for what God is wanting to do in this church in the days to come, the months to come, the years to come, the decades to come. And listen to me, a church that is 192 years old, should the Lord tarry, the centuries to come. You and I will not be here when the walls cannot contain, when there are churches planted. We're a 55 campus church. I don't care about having more campuses. If there's a church that's gonna be somewhere else, then let's send a pastor out and just pastor another to send a church. It's not about, hey, we've got 5,500 people worshiping. If 5,500 people are in this building, and this is not a slam against mega church, I'm not against that. Whatever the Lord calls that pastor to do. If this sanctuary never gets bigger than this, but we're sending people out to their spaces to plant churches, then to God be the glory, amen? Amen. It's about your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I want you to write this point down and get this and don't lose it. Any great move of God can be traced back to someone earnestly praying. Any great move of God. Not clever preaching. Not grandiose outreaches and cool stuff that we can do. And I love doing cool stuff. And I love to preach. And I hope to preach in a way that's engaging and attractive, but my preaching will not cause a great move of God. We can put nice trees up, we can decorate, we could do great stuff in the sanctuary, but great stuff in the sanctuary does not produce a move of God. Doesn't matter if I put on a suit and tie. I could put on skinny jeans and a hoodie. I don't know if my wife would be okay with that, but that doesn't do it. Hear me close. Not lattes with the Lord, cigars with the Savior. Come on, I'm being funny, but how many things that we've done now as a church to try to draw people in, that's not what produces the move of God. But I'm not just talking about in the church. Marriages are not restored, and hear me close, and I hope there's no little tiny children, but marriage is not restored because of better sex. Marriages are not restored because of great date nights. I don't care how many Chanels you can get, number 5, 7, 8, 13. You can get Chanel number 89. And listen, smelling good and looking good does not make a good situation. God stepping into your household. Your household is not strengthened just because of we do family game night. Listen, God bless you in your traditions. God doesn't just step into tradition. Are you hearing me, church? I love counseling. I'm an advocate of counseling. I counsel. I've been counseled. I will see a counselor for years. You want me to see a counselor. I'm dead serious. You want me to sit down and speak with a therapist and let them know about the things that are troubling my heart and my mind. Because it's healthy, it's good. But I'm going to tell you what hour every Thursday on the couch is not going to do. It's not going to produce a move of God. Aaron, what do you mean by move of God? I'm not just talking about things feeling good. We've been in places, home, church, work, where it felt good and it looked good, but we knew what was going on under the surface, right? Good is so fleeting. It's good for a moment. We've stepped into services where it just felt like this was good to be here. But then what happens next service? We've been at home across the table where things just felt good. But what does good produce? I'm not interested in anything good here. Church, as we close out this year and as we step into a new year, I'm not asking God to bring the good. He did that in Genesis 1. He started out with the good, and when good went bad, he sent something better. So we're already positioned for the good. I'm not asking God for good. I'm asking God to let his kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How many just want a move of God? Amen. Come on, lift your hands high if that's you. I want a move of God. I want God to step into human history. When we say a move of God, understand what I'm saying. I want God to step into human history. That's a big, audacious ask of me. You ever ask something that you know you don't have the right to even ask? It's so precious when I watch Kennedy come, and she's asking for something that she almost knows that the answer is supposed to be no. Come on, how many have little kids that have done that before? And how she starts to fumble, Daddy, I was just wondering if, and sometimes it depends on what the ask is, if it's something that she really desires in her heart, her eyes will start to water as she asks. Has anybody ever asked God something like that? Has anybody ever asked God something and your eyes start to water as you're asking? You're like, I know somebody else could ask you this, but not me. How many have ever prayed a prayer like that? Forgive my emotions this morning because I knew I wasn't going to holler and scream this morning, but I'm just going to walk you through where I am. Because I can't take you anywhere that I've not gone myself. And I got to show you where I'm going. To stand across a stage on the other side just about of the globe and be recognized for formal study of Scripture is actually a little bit more frustrating than you might imagine. Can I walk you through the why? Some have the privilege of our daily bread, a Bible app devotional, a Bible reading plan. And if you spend a few moments in the day and read the Word, and it's blessing you, and that's great, and you come to church, you come to Bible study, you hear the Word of God preached. But four, this is hard to even fathom this, a quarter of my life, I have been deeply entrenched in this thing called the study of Scripture. I can't read narrative the same. I know too much when I'm reading. I can't. You thought that you were being, oh wow, that's a great sermon when you're hearing the Beatitudes. You're hearing me share with you my devotional studies. I may have to organize them in homiletical fashion to make sure that I can deliver it in a way that's understood, but you're just really peeking into my private study. Now, Aaron, why is that frustrating? The reason it's frustrating because when I'm studying Scripture, I keep encountering this God who created everything, and when everything became messed up, he decided to step into a messed up everything and do something. Now, that may not be as frustrating to you as it is to me, but I'm going to tell you why. Because although I've been studying it for a quarter of my life, I've been living it all of my life. Anyone else in here born and raised in the church? Come on, raise your hands high if you're with me, which means you sit in the same place I am, that since we were a baby, this is all we heard, right? How is it that we grow up living in this? We eat it, we sleep it, we drink it. It governed in my house. I don't know about yours. In my house, this faith that we proclaim, it governed what we watched on TV. It governed what we played in the playlist. It governed what words came out of our mouth. It governed what we consumed. We were that much embedded into this thing called Christianity, into this thing called the faith. But can I be honest with you? I don't know how many times I've seen in my life God step into human history. Now, some of you have that testimony, and I thank God that you're here because we need at least some people in this place to have a testimony of God stepping into history. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that I've not seen God at work. I'm not saying that. I've seen some miracle moments, but when I say God stepping into human history, I'm saying that it may not have anything to do with my immediate surroundings, but the world knows that this is going on. In order to share with you what I'm talking about, I want to talk about a holiday prayer. Or rather, holiday prayers. There's some prayers that have been prayed, but I'm gonna talk to you about some prayers that are prayed when God steps into human history. And I know some of you are like, what in the world are you talking about? This was kind of funny to me, but you know that as I was reading just through the Gospels, it's funny, but we definitely know this. Mary never prayed for Jesus. She never prayed to get pregnant with Jesus. Can you see this little girl? Lord, Joseph, he's so fine, but before we get married, would you just please, just, how do you even, see, I don't even know the words to even add after please, because I don't even know how do you pray that kind of a prayer? Lord, I want to be pregnant with your baby. She didn't pray that. In fact, she's saying to the angel, what are you talking about? But there were other people praying around this season. There were people praying. Can I walk you through Scripture for a minute? Because I don't want to lose you. When we did the holiday prayer, I was really quick and I jumped in and I jumped out. And if you don't mind, I got to take you on a little bit of a journey today. Luke chapter 1. Just starting at verse 5. In the days of Herod, the king of Judea, there was a priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. He and his wife had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren. And they were both advanced in years. Now it happened that while he was performing his priestly service before God, in the appointed order of his division, according to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were in the house, were in prayer outside at the hour of the incense offering. Now, pause there for a second. Here's a man of God doing his job, doing it right. It gives you a little bit about his background, right? He and his wife, their background. And now as he's here praying, I mean, he's doing his job, people are outside, and the people are outside are praying. And while this is going on, an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right of the altar of incense. And Zacharias was troubled when he saw the angel, and fear gripped him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition or your prayer has been heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine nor liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. And he will not turn to and he will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. It is he who will go out as a forerunner before him in the spirit of the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous. So as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zacharias said to the angel, "How will I know this for certain? For I am an old man and my wife is advanced in years." Notice, I just noticed that. You know, see, Jason, you caught that too, didn't you? I'm old. She's advanced. I'm just telling the man what he's doing. And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands before the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and bring you this good news. And behold, you shall be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their proper time." The people were waiting for Zacharias and were wondering about the delay in the temple. I pause here just to give a quick history moment. You know that they had these tales of the when the priests would go in, they'd have to have bells around because sometimes they would be so corrupt that when they go in there, they would drop dead before the holiness of God. And folks are wondering, okay, he's not coming out, but we're still, like, for them to be wondering, they would have kind of drug him out, like, no, but we could there's sound that he's probably still in there alive. Then what's taking so long? So I'll move on here. When the days of his priestly services were ended, he went back home. And after these days, Elizabeth, his wife, became pregnant. And she kept herself in seclusion for 5 months, saying, "This is the way the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked upon with favor, when he looked upon me with favor to take away my disgrace among men." Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent. Skip that part. I'm going to skip forward to another prayer. More prayers are being prayed. Skip forward to chapter 2. Start at verse 25. Now, at this point, Jesus is born, and his parents are bringing him. The 8th day, he's got to come for custom. They bring him to the temple. And they're in the temple, and there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Now understand this, when you're hearing that the Holy Spirit, you're not going to hear the words that he was praying, but this gives you, this is indicative of the fact that this was in fact the man of prayer. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit in the temple. He was prayed up on his way in. And when the parents brought him the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him to his arms, and he blessed God and said, "Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes will have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel." And his father and mother were amazed at the things that they were heard, the things that were being said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed, and a sword will pierce even your own soul, to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." And then there's yet another prayer. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years and had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. But she never left the temple, serving night and day with fastings and prayers. At that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Three different people that are praying, and these are just a few. I mean, it doesn't even talk about the crowds that are outside praying. They weren't praying for what Luke records throughout the book of Luke and the book of Acts. You read those two, it's the same author who writes Luke and Acts, he writes these together. That's not what they were praying for. Some are just praying for the future of Jerusalem. They're praying kind of government prayers. We're praying for our nation. We're praying for our people. Zach and Liz, Jesus, we want a baby. What are you praying for? What are you praying for? Yet in the diversity of their prayers and the purity of their prayer, they're just, in fact, Mark shared this on Wednesday night when we were talking about being effective in our prayer. Mark shared this on Wednesday night, that we are to be sincere, to be steadfast, and to be scriptural. And didn't you kind of hear that in those folks that we just mentioned? Didn't you hear that in their prayers as they're praying? I'm old. She's advanced. We just still want a baby, Lord. Just being sincere. I know I'm too old to be asking for Dad, I know that this is a bad thing for me to ask, but can I ask this? And they're well in their years, but he says, I've heard your petition, which means that they probably had passed the years of praying, but then they're probably still talking to the Lord. It would have been nice to have a... When Simeon is praying and he's giving thanks, he says, this is according to your word, according to what you have said. Scripture is there. So, I told you I'm going to take you where I am. This is what happened to me while we were traveling. I've traveled enough, and I don't know if any of you are in here, and maybe if you've never flown before, your first time on the plane, you're going to be looking at everything and listening to everything. This was my girl's first time on a plane. And I looked over at Kennedy, and it was precious to me as I watched something that's just never interesting to me ever again. I don't care what plane it is, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. When I sit down, once that seatbelt is clicked, I need my headphones, my playlist activated, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. When I hear the ding, 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 here's your captain, please pay attention to the flight attendant that's in the, bro, she ain't saying nothing I ain't heard already. I got a seatbelt, there's the air, I know that the seat can float if I get in the water. But I looked as if Kennedy were watching a masterful sermon preached. The lady starts doing the in the air thing, Kennedy looks up and she's pointing, okay, I get it from there. I'm like, baby, you ain't gotta worry about that. This thing go down, baby, you ain't gotta worry about your air thing. You can skip the whole, put your own mask on. These girls gonna be all right. I will figure it out. I can hold my breath. They gonna breathe. I never did understand that, you know. Please, but then I looked at that and I looked up, and literally it's the first time I ever thought. Like literally I was thinking, sweetheart, you ain't gotta worry about where that stuff is. If this thing starts shaking and those things come down, you and Karis will be the first people in this plane to have their masks on. The captain won't have it on before you do. But it's the first time that I've ever had to listen to that presentation as a father. And this is the first time that I've gone into a new year and had to think as a shepherd about a season of prayer. This is the week, every year for me, this is the week that I will shut down for a day and spend time with my journal, a Bible, my Bible software, and map out what my next year looks like spiritually. This is how I'm gonna read, this is what I'm gonna pray, these are the books that I'm gonna read, this is what I'm studying. It's the first time that I'm stuck because I'm like, no, people are following now. And I felt like the Lord said, now, Aaron, what do you want? God, I want you to step into human history. I want you to rewrite this thing. I want you to step into family history and rewrite it. I want you to step into just man of God history and just... And it's not that I want people to like, oh my God, Aaron did that. I want you to step into human history every time I open my mouth to preach the word. God, I want it to be so transformative. It is not because I want to be popular or famous. And it's not for any reason. I don't post when I preach sermons. I don't share them. It's not that I don't want them shared. I'm not that guy. I'm not the guy that's just in my study getting ready for a good word. I'm not. I don't ask them, hey, take some clips out of this and put this on TikTok and I just want those of you that come in here and sit down, I want God to step into your history from the preaching and teaching of the word. Not just for you to say, oh, that's some good preaching at West. I literally want you to walk out of this place and felt like, man, God showed up there. And something's got to change. One of our problems in the church, we understand that we live in an ever-changing world and we are ever-changing. The problem is very little changes because of the preaching and teaching of the word. How many times have you been scrolling through social media and you saw that ad, get in shape now, you could lose this pounds by doing this and this and this, and all of a sudden you're buying three apps that you're now downloading and you're paying for, and you're now doing intermittent fasting and all this kind of stuff because you scrolled and for 15 seconds someone did something, and now that 15-second ad just came in and changed human history for the better part of 11 days, and then you're good. I'm good. And everyone laughs and says, I'm right. How many times, listen, we're driving. My mom tells Karen about some show that she and my dad watch, and I'm listening, I ain't watching that show. And they have the show on the plane. And it was a long flight. That's part of my spaciness today. I've never been stuck on a plane for, I think we were sitting 2 hours on the tarmac because a screw off of a flap was missing, and they had to get the screw, find a screw, and oh, Father. And then they had the nerve to get mad when I wanted a whole can of Coke instead of pouring into my cup. He's like, can I get the can? She tells my wife about a show. Karen says, huh. And now we're driving later on, and they have a 2-minute conversation. Not, wasn't even, maybe 30 seconds about the show. Then on the flight back, I actually put one of my books away because I couldn't fight the curiosity any longer. And I watched through 4 episodes, wasted my life. Wasted my life. And then got home and asked Karen, now, do they have that on one of our streaming things? We need to watch the rest. We will change our watching habits. Someone tells you about an experience at a restaurant, you will change your eating habits. But how many times has the preaching and teaching of the Word of God actually said, now we're going to change this? Everything else changes because of what I watch, what I listen to, who I hang around. But when the word of God is preached, it's an amen, that's a good word, and we're out. So that's why I'm saying, Lord, I'm praying, God, I want the Spirit to be upon me so much. Do you understand that an angel comes to Mary and says, you're going to be pregnant? She ain't been with no man. And I know that's all broken up English, but that's how serious it is. And she's pregnant, and she gives birth to Jesus. And with all of that that takes place, she's still bewildered when she hears the words of Simeon. Because for whatever reason, even our own experiences, we need someone to come by. Come through. It's not until Simeon says the right words that begins to serve. We have the Magnificat of Mary, who just sings all this great praise because of this. But I think when Simeon says something, even the words of Simeon are more weighty than the words of the angel. Okay, Aaron, back that up. Back that up. Because the word from the angel may cause me to worship. But the word from Simeon makes me start conducting the choir a little bit. Oh, my son, we're at a wedding and they run out of wine. Jesus, they run out of wine. Woman, this is not my time. Okay, it's not your time. I know what the pastor said. Okay, so guys, whatever he says to do, do it. Listen to this man right here, because he's going to have you do something that's amazing. Because there's something that happens because of this moment in the synagogue that transforms her thinking. Lord, that's what I want. I want to preach in a way that causes you to step into human history. Lord, I want to preach such a way that husbands and wives just knew that, hey, listen, we already signed divorce papers. I don't know what you're talking about. Okay. Lord, I want you to step into their human history. Oh, no, you don't understand, though. My mother was divorced. My father was divorced. Yeah, there's never been a healthy marriage. Okay. Human history, Lord, would you step into it? Lord, would you give me the words from this pulpit to step into it? Oh, well, listen, I know you think that God has a call on everybody's life, but you know, I've done this. Okay, Lord, human history then. Because they feel like in their wake, everything is failure, 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 failure. Lord, can you give me such a word to preach, to deliver, so that your people will hear your voice? That's what I'm wanting. As I'm stepping into this thing, I'm praying about the church, about individuals, and I'm saying, God, I need you to step into that. And I really felt, for the first time as I looked on this plane and I watched Kennedy, and I really felt like the Lord said, Aaron, I've called you to lead this people somewhere. And it's not going to come without prayer. Because nothing powerful, I've not stepped into anything that's not backed in prayer. I don't step into degrees. Your PhD means nothing to me, Aaron. Aaron, you can fly to West Africa, Egypt, China. Fly, Aaron, get a PhD on every continent if you want to, and it does not change a thing. I don't move without people praying. I step into history, though, when people pray. Aaron, fill your walls with plaques and degrees. Let everybody know who you know, how you know them, how long you've known them. Write books. Record music, paint pictures, dream dreams, but I don't step into dreams, books, pictures, and degrees. I step into prayer. So I'm asking God, okay, then Lord, I'm really praying. He said, then Aaron, just start by putting on your mask. You're going to have to mask up, Aaron. I'm like, Lord, what are you talking about? And here's what I just asked myself, Lord, what am I missing? What am I missing? Have you ever prayed and it seemed like you just keep praying and praying and praying and then you just leave with this question right here? How many? Is it just me? How many ever just said, what am I missing? Come on, I feel like I'm sincere when I'm praying, Lord. I mean, I'm sharing with you this is what I earnestly want. Steadfast, I've been praying this for 10 years, Lord. 15 years. Some in here have a 25-year prayer request before the Lord and still nothing. God, what am I missing? Scriptural, I mean, I'm sure that many of you can walk through this thing and find verse after verse after verse that will make your prayer request make sense to God. Lord, how I'm praying this thing, how come I'm not hearing you answer? And the problem is, if I don't stop here, if I don't pause right here and walk us through something, we're going to go into a season of frustration and not a season of fervency. If we don't stop for a second and really understand what we're doing when we're praying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He's literally telling us, pray prayers that ask God to step down into human history. It only comes through prayer. So God, what am I missing? And you know what? My bookshelves, my digital bookshelves, they're filled with prayer, books on prayer, and books on prayer, and books on prayer. And you know what? It seems like so many authors would tell us what we're missing. Oh, you got to pray this way, and this way, and this way, and this way. You got to pray this way, and this way, and this way, and this way. And as I begin to walk through this thing, here's what I begin to understand. Maybe I'm looking at this the wrong way. Maybe you're looking at this the wrong way. So here's the journey that the Lord has had me on this week that I want to equip you with as we enter a season of prayer. And when I say a season of prayer, I mean that some committed folks at West Highland Baptist Church are about to commit the next 6 months to begging God to step into human history. Not for us. And if any attention were drawn to the church, it would only be as a beacon that we can point the world to Christ. If any attention were drawn to the preaching, it's only so that people can hear transformative words that will literally cause God to break into their human history. This is not for popularity. It's not for bragging to go through, oh, our church is praying. Who cares if they, listen, it doesn't matter what other church, what other person knows that this church is praying, because we're not praying to another church. We're not praying to another person. We're not praying to another person. We're asking God to step into human history. So we're giving Sunday nights to talk to God. So pastor, what am I missing? Literally, I'm taking moments to see if I can work on the study of the sermon through last night, I mean through the week. But when, listen, the steering wheels were on the wrong side of the car and the cars were on the wrong side of the road. It was just a hot mess. Every morning was a prayer meeting, and it was not about the sermon. It was about wherever we were going, can we make it back without an accident? Because I did not want to have that conversation with the car rental place. Plane was just too, it was too much out of my zone to really spend time studying. So I got home. We got home late last night. And my Karen and the girls, they wished they could be here, but Karen just said to me last night after that plane, I mean, we ended up, I think we, it ended up being up for like 22 hours straight with a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old. And having to walk through a long airport and stuff with them. I mean, at times we were putting them on my mom's lap and just going through, and it was a day. So I get home late last night, and I said, okay, first thing I got to do is I got to sit down and I got to get ready for tomorrow. And the only thing that I had as of last night was, Aaron, put on your own mask. And I had this question, Lord, what am I missing? So I sat down, and then, you know, I'm just, okay, I needed some quotes in it, like, and I sat down, and as soon as I got to my computer, my eyes got heavy. I said, okay, we ain't have no slides tomorrow. We just, y'all just gonna have to just listen. Ivan said, I'm gonna have to bring up a chair and just sit down and just, and then I said, I'm just gonna write my sermon out. I'm just gonna lay in a bed. you know. I'm just gonna just type the sermon out in some notes on my phone. And I thought, well, I don't feel like holding my phone though right now, so I'm just gonna put that phone on the charger and just, I'm just gonna get my journal and just handwrite. I mean, you just go from just dumb to dumber. Like, dude, I'm just gonna get under the blanket while I'm, I'm just gonna lay down on my head. I was out. And I'm waking up this morning like, text Lisa and say, today's gonna be a praise party. That's all we got is a praise party. Lord woke me up at 5 this morning. I went in my kitchen and sat down, asking again, Lord, what am I missing? What am I missing? And I go back and I read these stories again of their prayers. And I'm reading, oh, but Lord, what am I missing? I mean, I don't get it. What's about their prayers? What's about these prayers? Again, Mary didn't pray for Jesus, but Jesus is in action. He's stepping into human history. This is God stepping into human history. But there are prayers that are surrounding that. And some we don't even know when Zacharias is inside the temple. We don't even know what they're praying. It's just that people are outside praying. Lisa, you can come. I'm gonna wrap with this. Because what I realize is it's not what I am missing, is but what they were missing. And it changed everything for me as I begin to think about this season of prayer that we're going to go into. It's not about what you and I are missing. See, the thing about thinking through and studying prayer is that there's scripture after scripture that can tell you what to do with prayer. Pray at all times without ceasing. Effectual and fervent prayer of righteous avail as much. You have a prayer and you go to the elders and okay, all this stuff is good. But what if we just took someone's prayer where God was just answering prayer, but he wasn't focused on them. It was the whole of the community that was experiencing the goodness of God. God steps into human history, and we just see a few prayers, and what were they missing? Because there are certain things, Lisa, that can actually kill our prayers. And here's the thing. When I realized this, if I were to ask you, what do you think is the number one killer of effectual prayer? I don't know if you would think, but I would have written it down. In fact, I did. What's killing prayers is doubt. And then I thought, is it though? Is it? Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Zacharias, I'm old. She's advanced. Doubt. But an answer to prayer. So some of you have already made up in your mind, you will not fill out this prayer card because you're already doubting the answer. Doubt away, but write it down. You don't want to fill it out because you've prayed this before and nothing's happened. Write it down. I've got prayers that I've prayed and they've not been answered. And I'm going into 25 with some unanswered prayer. Write them down. I want you to, God, but I don't think you will. As a dad, I love blowing my girls away. When Kennedy comes, Dad, I know that you're going to say no to this because it's kind of early morning and we're supposed to have healthy stuff for breakfast, but it's a holiday, and I was just wondering if I could have some pie, maybe because it's a special day. Kennedy, look at me. I'm sorry, Dad. Do you want whipped cream or ice cream with your pie? What? But you know why she'll do that? And maybe that's why God says that we must become like little children. She'll do that because the reality is she can sit and talk to Karis all she wants to about how good pie would be for breakfast. She can even go to mom because she knows that mom is going to still say no. So she's like, no. But there's something about daddy who just loves his little girls. There's just something about daddy that knows, and daddy knows when it's okay to do that. See, daddy won't do that before school. I don't need to send you pumped up on sugar before you go, and then you go into a little sugar crash in the middle of the day, and you're not be able to focus. But listen, it's the holiday. We ain't doing nothing today but pajamas and some house shoes and watching Christmas. You want pie for breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Baby, we're going to double down on the pie. Because daddy knows when you can get this thing. So doubt, but ask, because your doubt is not a killer. Now, does the Bible want us to overcome our doubt? Oh, 100%. But when we talk about the sincerity that Mark talked about on Friday, you're not sincere if you're saying, Lord, I really want this, but I don't think you can. I wonder how much this church would look different. I wonder how much he would step into history if we prayed some, but I don't think you can prayers. If we prayed some, I don't think you will prayers. If we prayed some, can you hear me now type of prayers. That's what he wants. That's what he wants. So the doubt is not a killer. So what are the killer? The first one, and this is God talking to me. Aaron, this is what was not present in their prayers. First one is, some of us, we're just too busy. We're distracted. Distraction is an enemy of prayer. Every last person, you go back and read it again for yourself and you show me where their focus was. They were doing what they were supposed to do. They were doing what they were supposed to do. And some of us, the reason why our prayers are so ineffective is because honestly, we're probably saying too much because we're doing too much. This is hard for me. I'm in a season right now, Lisa. I'm in a season right now, West Highland, where I'm asking God, what is too much? What needs to go off the plate? And I'm not talking about, there's sometimes that some you have to work two jobs because this, but I'm saying you're committed to too much. You're showing up everywhere all the time for everybody. Every time someone needs help, it's a yes, yes. Well, are we not supposed to be, listen. This is a whole nother sermon in and of itself, but some of you already know what I'm talking about when I say you're doing too much. Chasing things, chasing people, going here, going there, Always, there's something else always on the calendar. Listen, how do you know you're doing too much? Here's the one question that will get us every single time. What does your Sabbath look like? Did you all hear a holy wave of hush that went across the room? What does your day of absolute rest and contemplation look like? We're too distracted. And so when we come to pray, and this is why it doesn't sound exciting for some to say, we're going to come on Sunday nights to pray, because when we come to pray, we're sitting down and it feels like we're at a funeral wake. We're quiet because the reason why we're verbally quiet sometimes, and not saying that prayer is supposed to sound like a bunch of craziness, but even when you go back to Acts, they could hear that something was going on in the room. But sometimes the reason why we're quiet is because we're trying to quiet our mind so that we can quiet our hearts. How many know what I'm talking about? How many have ever come that you're trying to pray, but if you were trying to pray for 30 minutes, how many have spent the first 20 just trying to just shut off the grocery list and what needs to be done? Come on, how many know what I'm talking about? Because we're so busy. Because we don't know how to take a break. We don't know what Sabbath rest looks like. The Lord is convicting your pastor of that. Aaron, how are you going to pray if you're so distracted? And here's worse. We're discontent. James talks about this, doesn't he? That's why you guys are fighting right now. You want so much. Some of our prayers, they're not effective because we're praying for stuff that we want other things instead of praying this prayer of rejoicing and just contentment for what God has given us. I want my church to look like that church. I want my preaching to sound like that preaching. I want my car to look like that car. I want my house to look like that house. Now let me just say something to clarify something. I'm gonna tell you one prayer that I don't pray. I want my church to look like that church. And it's not just because I love this church. But my prayer is, Lord, I want the church to look like whatever we're supposed to look like. I don't even know what that looks like right now. Man, do I hear preachers sometimes and think, like, man, I need to preach better. Like, I bet their folks get to go to Sunday school on time. I don't even get to close right. Lord, I want this. I want that. Some of us need to Mariah Carey our prayers. All I want for Christmas, Jesus, is you. No, but really, we ask for so much more of so many other things, but we don't ask for more of him. When's the last time you said, Lord, I just want more discernment? Lord, I want more self-control. Lord, would you just give me more gentleness? Lord, would you just help me just bear this more? We're discontent. So all these desires that we want that are not of God begin to fuel our prayers. And then literally our prayers begin to sound like a 7-year-old Christmas wish list. And we'll sprinkle that with some worship music. Throw in some Maverick City or something, and it's gotten really holy and spiritual. Or if you're above the age of 45, throw in a hymn. But we spiritualize our Christmas wish list to Jesus. And lastly, if you'll stand with me, it's disobedience. Would you stand to your feet with me, please? Church, I'm not going to ask you this one here, but this one is difficult. We divert too much. We are the workmanship of God, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he prepared in advance for us to walk in. My life verse. Yet, if he's prepared the path for me to walk in, why am I so distracted? I'm adding these detours now. I didn't understand when we did it here, when we started adding these little annoying things called roundabouts here in Michigan. Listen, when I first started seeing them, I said, this is stupid. Left turn or right turn, call it a day. Can I tell you something? I actually learned this a couple years back. Part of Leadership Oakland, we had to learn the different systems in the government. One thing that we had to do was a week where we're talking with the Oakland County Road Commission and understanding, like, they're giving us data on traffic and stuff like that. Do you know that there's something like 84% less accidents and stuff happened when there were roundabouts than just these left turn, right turns? It's the only thing that made driving in the UK make sense. Everything else was just dumb until it was like, oh, roundabout. It's like, because there was a time that I got on and I thought, am I supposed to go left or right? And while it took me a second to figure it out, I just did a loop. And then, oh, there it is. See, I think that's how prayer works. Prayer is that roundabout where I'm saying, Lord, I don't want to take control here. I'm about done, but I got to tell you why the roundabouts work very well for me. I'm an adventurous kind of a guy. I took Karen on a cruise to the Bahamas one year for our anniversary. And we ported at Nassau. And we get off the boat, and there are folks there, hey, we're going to give you a tour of the island. Like, okay, how much is your tour of the island? $80. That's not bad. How long is this tour? An hour? Then a guy to my right has these mopeds. How much are the mopeds? $80. How long you get them? For the day? I can let this person drive me around and spend $80. Or I can go exploring for $80, and I don't have to be back in an hour. The ship's going to be here all night. Guys, men, can I talk to the men for a second? Men, what do we do? What are we doing? Okay, how many men say we're taking the bike for a ride? All right. How many men say absolutely not, under no circumstances? All right, good. So then I don't feel bad. Because I said, give me the bike. We were also traveling with friends, another couple. And they were like, hey, we could go in the cab. Guys, I told them, Tone, be a man. We're going to get on these bikes. We get on the bikes. Ain't no roundabouts in Nassau. We're driving. It's the Bahamas. The Bahamas. 10 minutes in, Jason, traffic did something funky. I don't know what was going on. Tony and Cynthia are over here, and I'm over here, and they make us like the traffic is pushing us around to this corner. And next thing you know, I could hear it. I know it was playing from the heavens. I heard the theme song to Cops. Bad Boys, what you? Because the whole scene changed from beauty to I saw folks getting arrested. Some guy was asking me and my wife that we want to buy something, and I don't know what the something was, but I don't think it was a souvenir. And then my friends, they went over some other way, and we didn't have cell phones at the time. I mean, it was a hot mess because I was making my own path. That cab driver, he knew exactly where to go. When I got back, I was telling somebody about the experience, they said, oh, you missed out. Yeah, we did that cab before. They take you to Atlantis, and they tell me all the beautiful places I would have gone. But the problem is I was diverting. That's what disobedience does. God says, this is what I want from you. And some of us are saying, okay, God, I know that that's what you're asking, but this is a little more exciting, and I know I can get there if I do this. Lord, I know that you're asking me, and I don't know where you're being disobedient at. I know where I am. God, you're asking me to give this, but I'm only going to give that. You're asking me to do this, but I'd rather do that. You're asking me to get rid of this, but I'll rather hold on to whatever God is asking you of. Church, we're about to go into a season of prayer. So here's my question for you all. What has to go? What has to go? You look at those three killers of effective prayer. Again, how many want to see God step into human history? How many want to see it happen? Listen, if we're distracted, discontent, and disobedient, duh, that would have been a great example. You know who else was? The folks who he brought out of Egypt in the wilderness. Look where that got him. I don't want to be the generation that dies off so that my kids and grandkids can say what the Lord did at West Highland. What about you? What about you? And listen, I'm even talking to our advanced season in here. Listen, we hear about this lady who's a widow into her 80s, and she's still praying down fire. Oh, you think that you're because you're retired that your time is up? Oh, listen, everyone in this place, we've got a job to do. And I'm not talking about our ministry council job. I'm not talking about our deacon job. I'm not talking about our elder job. I'm not even talking about our pastor job. I want to see God step into human history in our worship team. I want to see God step into human history in the parking lot in the foyer. I want to see God do things in our academy that we never thought we'd read about in a history book. That's only going to happen when we commit ourselves to prayer. Church, I'm going to close this afternoon in prayer, but here's what I'm going to ask of you. Again, you have those cards with you. I want you to give some thoughts to these this week. I don't want everyone to commit to bringing this in with you next week. You don't have to put a name on it. They can remain anonymous. If you want to put a name on it, you're free to do that. But what I'm going to do, I want to collect all of those next week. And as I'm praying for you all, I want us to be praying. I want us to be praying. And we're just going to put these things before the Lord and say, Lord, step into human history for us. Before we do that, I'm going to pray for you today, though. I'm going to pray for you today that the Lord would help you to see the distractions. Lord, help them know by your Spirit what needs to go. Lord, make them content. The Bible says that godliness with contentment is great gain. And this is the hardest part, because even in the smallest thing, Lord, we need to be obedient. He says, who's faithful in little, he'll make us ruler over much. Father, thank you for these, your people. It is with great gratitude that I stand as a shepherd, as a leader over these people, my family here. God, as you're calling us into a season of prayer, calling us into a time of really going before your throne. Lord, this is going to be a season of repentance. It's going to be a season of redirecting our steps. It's going to be a season of letting go of some things. This might be the first time in some of our entire walk that we actually obeyed you, even just in that thing of having Sabbath rest. For some, that could be the one key thing that you're calling them to be obedient in, is taking a break, resting. Lord, as we step into this season of prayer, would you ready our hearts and our minds for you stepping into human history, the most beautiful disruption that the world will ever encounter. We're asking, God, step into our history, but Lord, make it be a result of our fervent prayer. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, we love you so much. Please be back with us on Christmas Eve for our Christmas Eve service. And then next Sunday, listen, come in your hoodies and your flannels, whatever you may, but I'm coming. You're going to see a different side of Pastor Aaron next week, but I make no apologies right now. Love you all, and thank you again so much for this precious gift. You all are amazing. We'll see you all on Christmas Eve.